Our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 12, and our text is Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't like the subject of love. In fact, most people are interested in talking about love, or at least hearing a discussion about love. Naturally, the Bible has much to say about love, and that's what the Lord has led me to prepare for today's message. Now, in any discussion about love, the tendency is to quickly head for the application of love to real-life situations. By that I mean, people to people, person to person. Whom must I love, and how can I cultivate this love, and how should I demonstrate this love, and so forth. But one aspect of this subject is very often neglected, or at least relegated to a minor status. What is the underlying motive behind love? Where does love begin? Hence the title of this message, Where Does Love Begin? I would suggest to you that if you do not love God as you ought to love Him, you will not love people for the right reason. And your love for any particular person will be dependent on circumstances rather than flowing from God Himself. Today, we will not be dealing primarily with our relationship with others. And that is something the Lord may lead in future. But today, we're going to be concentrating on our relationship with God, because that is where love begins. If you get this right, you will then have a solid foundation for getting your relationship with others right. Today's message is composed of three major questions. As I ask you these three questions today, I encourage you to ask God to help you understand and apply the answers that we find in the Bible. Obviously, you will know about how far we are through the message by what question we're on, and some of you may like that. The first question I would pose to you is this: why should you love God? Why should you love the Lord? First of all, because He is God. He created you and deserves and commands your love. Some of you may very logically be saying to yourselves right now, commands my love? How does that work? If you are thinking something like this, then it could be that you are thinking in terms of sentimental love, or friendship love, or even familial family love. These are all represented by other Greek words in the original Greek New Testament, not the word used in the passages that command us to love God. You may not be aware that the Greek word used in these passages is agape. How many have ever heard that word, agape? Okay. This kind of love means a selfless commitment to and pursuit of the well-being of the one you love. Let me repeat that definition for you. A selfless commitment to and pursuit of the well-being of the one you love. This is the kind of love that comes from the will. You choose to love. You commit yourself to love. This is why the Bible commands the husband to love his wife unconditionally. You may be saying, but I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about the feeling kind of love. There's another kind of love. What we're talking about is the choice, the determination to love. So when a husband makes that decision to love his wife and puts it into action in practical ways, the other kinds of love will soon begin to grow in the fertile soil of agape love. Now you can see then why the command to love God is not at all unreasonable. This love is to be a selfless commitment of our entire person to God, as we see in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this. Here the Lord Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. And he said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." So why should you love the Lord? First of all, because he is God. He created you and deserves and commands your love. Secondly, because he first loved you. He set a perfect example. He loved us even when we were rebels against him, going our own way. He loves us even though he is perfectly holy and we are sinners. That's about as far apart on the spectrum as you can get from light to darkness. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life." Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." If you're following along in a New American Standard Bible, I love the way it always capitalizes references to God. Whether God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in any reference to God, the New American Standard Bible will capitalize the pronouns, so that you know whom he is being referred to there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." So why should you love the Lord? First of all, because he is God. He created you and commands your love. Secondly, because he first loved you. He set a perfect example. And thirdly, because he proved his love for you. Remember that agape love always actively finds practical ways to carry out its selfless commitment toward the one loved. As Dito was reading the scripture reading this morning, and by the way, his real name is Francisco Rolando Avendaño IV. But his father is Francisco Rolando Avendaño III. So therefore, to distinguish between the two, we call his father Rolando and call his son Dito. That's short for Rolandito, which in Spanish means little Rolando or very dear Rolando, right? Okay, there we go. Now you know why we call him Dito. Okay. It's just for me, so I don't get mixed up who I'm referring to. Now, as he read that, you notice he mentioned the fact that these are all verbs. Agape love does this. Agape love does this kind of thing. And the reason for that is because agape love always actively finds practical ways to carry out its selfless commitment toward the one loved. He died for you. Christ died for you. And if you have trusted him as your Savior, he saved you. In John chapter 3, verse 16, again, "For God so loved the world," there's agape love again, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have eternal life." and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Then 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If you trusted him as your Savior, then he has made you his child. You were born spiritually into his family. There's where the expression born again comes from. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you must be born spiritually. You've already been born physically. We see you, and we can touch you, and slap your face, whatever, okay? But you're physically born, but you now must be spiritually born. So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Understand that you are not automatically born into God's family. Every person born physically into this world is born a sinner, a lost sinner, heading for hell. But God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So therefore, if you recognize yourself as a sinner, you recognize that you deserve the penalty for sin, and that Jesus paid that penalty for you, if you will accept his payment for you, if you will ask him to save you. And if you do, then you are his child. What a blessing. So we've answered the first question, why should you love the Lord? The second question is this, how does God continually demonstrate his love for you if you truly have been born again? Well, first of all, he assures you of his love in his word, the Bible. And God cannot lie. Notice these specific and amazing declarations. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. So here, speaking to Israel, speaking to humans, he is saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with loving kindness. What a blessing. The Lord Jesus declared in John chapter 15, verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope, that is confident expectation, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in chapter 8, verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only does God demonstrate his love by clear declarations in his word, he hears and answers your prayers. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you belong to Him, you're His child, He hears and answers your prayers. Psalm 116, verse 1 tells us this: I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. That Hebrew word for hear has the implication of answer as well as hear. Not just hear it and ignore it, but hear and answer. In fact, He has promised to hear and answer your prayers. And remember, God cannot lie. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What a promise. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him. Just in case you didn't understand in verse 14 that He hears your prayers, and that means He's going to answer, verse 15 corroborates that by saying we have the requests. We have those answered, granted. Not only does God demonstrate His love by clear declarations in His Word and by hearing and answering your prayers, He is purifying you, disciplining you, molding you into the image of His beloved Son. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, we read this: furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, speaking of earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He, speaking of the Lord, disciplines us for our good so that we may share His holiness. The Lord Jesus, revealed in all His glory in the book of Revelation, declares in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, those whom I love, agape, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Interesting that here He's showing that a proof of His love is that discipline that brings the loved one to a correction, to change, to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does God demonstrate His love by clear declarations in His Word, by hearing and answering your prayers, and by purifying, disciplining, and molding you into the image of His beloved Son, He furthermore has prepared unimaginably wonderful things for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, but just as it is written, and He's quoting from another part of Scripture, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that verse, thinking about the wonderful things God has in store. What He's saying here is, you can't imagine the wonderful things I have in store for you. No, don't even try. You can't imagine. It is beyond anything that you could imagine. That's what He's saying here. What a wonderful God we have. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. So all those unimaginably wonderful things are bestowed on us someday. And on top of that, a crown. What a wonderful God we have. And this brings us to our third and final question. How do you cultivate and prove your love for God? You do this, first of all, by realizing His love for you and responding with a decision to love Him. I hope that what you have heard so far in this message has persuaded you how much He loves you. And if so, then you need to respond with a decision to love Him. Remember, this is agape love. Don't wait for this feeling. When I first met my sweet wife, how many years ago? 46, 47, 80, 90. I do bad math. I met her when we were both 16 years old, and it's been love at first sight and every sight after that. And I remember when I first met her that there were feelings, because it was not only agape love, but it was other kinds of love as well. And romantic love was there. And what a wonderful, she's so beautiful. I mean, how can I not respond in love? But the agape love has been the love that has kept us all the way through all these decades, in spite of ups and downs, in spite of my failings. She doesn't have a failing, she's perfect. I know she's not, but technically. But understand, all through these years, agape love is that decision to love that holds us all the way through all these years. And so, we're talking about agape love here. Our love for Him should respond to His love for us. It's a love generated by the will, not the love primarily generated by emotions. The emotion kind of love will often follow agape, like the caboose follows the engine of the train. I've had the privilege of counseling several couples over the years, and one of the things I always share with them is that, look, you may say that you're out of love with one another. Doesn't matter. I'm not impressed. And they look at me like, don't you understand how important that is? I said, it's not important. They look at me like, are you crazy? No. I said, the agape love is the foundation for every other kind of love. You work on agape love, you'll find that those other kinds of love will follow, like the caboose follows the engine. I found many of them will come back to me and say, you are right. Every time I think about that, I think of a train. And, I've got a lot of cabooses following right now. Praise the Lord. Agape love, a decision of the will, a commitment of the will. You make the decision to love God because it is the right decision, based on the fact that He is good, that He made you, that He saved you, and that He loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, by this the love of God was manifested in us, those of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Well, listen, you may be here today and you are not absolutely 100% sure that you are saved. If that's the case, then that's wonderful, because then you're not fooling yourself, and you know you need to do something about it. Listen, God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world in order to pay for your sin, so that you could be born into God's family when you trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. Then His payment for your sin becomes real and applied in your case. Oh, listen, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love with agape love because He first loved us. You cultivate and prove your love for God, secondly, by learning and obeying His word. I'm going to read several passages here that are in the book of John, Gospel of John, and they're all in red print if you have the red letter edition. It just means that all the words of the Lord Jesus are in red print, so you can see them right away. John chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus said this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And then John chapter 15, verse 10, the Lord Jesus said this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you prove your love for God, secondly, by learning and obeying his word. That means you have to read the Bible. And you have to trust his enablement to obey it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now you may hear that verse and say, wait a minute, it's hard to live the Christian life. Would you say it's hard to live the Christian life? It's very hard for the flesh to do that. But you know, if you let Christ live his life through you, it's not hard at all. Because you're depending on his enablement. If you're finding it horribly hard to live the Christian life consistently, then you are not depending on Christ to live it. You're depending on the flesh. And the flesh doesn't want to live the Christian life. The flesh wants to do fun stuff. All sorts of other stuff. By the way, living the Christian life is not unfun. Living the Christian life is a joy when your heart and mind are in sync with God's heart and mind. Then the joy and peace that is unimaginable are yours. You cultivate and prove your love for God, first of all, by responding to his love with a decision to love him. Secondly, by learning and obeying his word by his enablement. And thirdly, by loving what he loves and hating what he hates. In other words, you have the same attitude and mindset toward things that he does. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we read, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not talking about people, because God so loved the world. In that context, it's people. Here, do not love the world is talking about all the things in the world. Fame, fortune, and all the rest. Entertainment, bungee jumping, whatever you want to call it, whatever floats your boat. That's all the things in the world. I remember as a young boy, well, older boy, whatever, I loved flying. In fact, I wanted to fly so badly, I built an airplane out of balsa wood that was about 10 feet wingspan. Now, I didn't know enough about aerodynamics and aeronautics to realize that that wasn't enough to keep my weight up in the air. But I wanted to do it so badly. I built an airplane. It took me forever. My parents thought, oh, isn't he cute? He's building an airplane. Until they saw me carting it up a big hill. And I was going to jump off a cliff with it. And so they caught me in time. All right. But understand, you can get so wrapped up in the things of the world, things that seem like fun, things that are exciting. But God says here, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're all wrapped up in the things of this world, then it's idolatry. Idolatry. You say, that means you can't like anything in the world? I didn't say that. Just don't put it first. Don't put it first. Do I love flying? Sure. Never did get my flying license. I got one flying lesson. That was fun. Until I got airsick. I thought, hey, maybe not. But understand that if that's your pursuit, that's your goal, that's everything you love and want to do, and you're missing the boat, the Lord should be your first and foremost love. You cultivate and prove your love for God by responding to His love with a decision to love Him, by learning and obeying His word, by loving what He loves and hating what He hates, and fourthly, by trusting Him no matter what circumstances may take place. Job chapter 13, verse 15, I want to quote this from the King James Version, although the New American Standard is very similar. I just like the way the King James Version reads here. Job 13, 15, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job was going through unimaginable tortures, physical difficulties. And yet he said, because he knew God and he loved God, he knew that there was an ultimate good purpose somewhere there. So he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Trust the Lord no matter what the circumstances may be. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That verse is helping us to understand that sometimes from our viewpoint down here, we may not see the helicopter view of everything that's happening that God can see. We're just down here driving the car, and all we see is the next bend in the road. And all we're seeing is things that don't look so great. But God has an ultimate good purpose. We just need to trust Him. So trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. You cultivate and prove your love for God by responding to His love with a decision to love Him, by learning and obeying His word, by loving what He loves and hating what He hates, by trusting Him no matter what the circumstances may be, and finally, by loving His children. Remember, when you trusted Christ as Savior, you were born into His family. That means everyone else who has been born into His family is your brother or sister in Christ. So, this is agape love, again, remember, choosing to seek God's best for that fellow believer. I will also add here that obeying God's commands comes with God's promise of His enablement. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That statement, God is love, is amazing. What it teaches us is that everything we know about genuine godly love is really just an emanation of His character and person. We would not know what genuine Christ-like love is if it were not for God's character. He is love. The reason there is such a thing as love in this world is because of God's character, God's being. God is love. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That means you can love others who are imperfect. Yes, it's one thing to love God who is perfect and your Creator, and He died for you and He saved you. But boy, to love another person who's got failings. They're not perfect. You know anybody like that? Somebody who's not perfect? Well, look in the mirror first, okay, and look around you. Listen, God says I can do all things, including loving with agape love, through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. To summarize everything we've learned today, loving God is the most important single thing you and I must do, and is the basis of all proper and right love toward others. In fact, the Lord Jesus summarized all this by His answer to a Pharisee's question in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And you can turn there and read along with me as I read it for us. Matthew 22, verse 37, and He said to them, speaking of the Lord Jesus, said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. Everything in the Bible depends on these two. But the first one, loving God with all of your being, that's the most important. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? As I prepare to close this message in prayer in just a moment, before I pray, would you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart through what you've heard today? Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Have you responded to His love for you by your commitment to love Him in return? Remember, it's a decision of the will. Don't look for emotions. Look for that commitment, that choice. Are you committed to learning and obeying His word? Are you committed to loving what He loves and hating what He hates? You trust Him no matter what the circumstances may be? Do you love His children? If you could not honestly answer yes to all these questions, then would you commit yourself to love God as He commands and deserves? How do you begin to love God as He has commanded you? First of all, make the conscious, deliberate decision to begin today to love Him with that agape love. If you have not trusted Christ as Savior, then you cannot do this. You may try, but you'll be doing it in the flesh, and it won't work. It won't last more than a few minutes. But listen, if you trusted Christ as Savior, then you can make that conscious, deliberate decision love Him. Secondly, consciously commit yourself to trust Him no matter what happens. Thirdly, make up your mind to obey His word. That means you need to be reading His word, immersing yourself in the Bible. The more you obey His word, the more He will reveal Himself to you. And the more you know Him, the more you will love Him. Would you do it right now in the quietness of this closing moment? Ask God for His enablement to do this, Christian. If you are not saved, or you're not sure that you are saved, you may have a great attitude toward God. You may think that He's wonderful and great, but you've never seen yourself as a sinner, lost and on His way to hell. Listen, God's word says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of his perfection. But God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. If you trust him as your Savior, ask him to save you. He will save you. And his righteousness is then imputed to you. It's put on your account. God the Father sees the righteousness of his Son when he looks at you. What a wonderful miracle. What a wonderful transaction. If you've never done that before, would you ask the Lord Jesus to save you? Thank him for dying for you, for paying for your sin, and ask him to save you. If you need help with that, would you please contact me after the service, whether talk to me personally, or whether you text me or email me. Let me help you come to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have considered this love that you have for us, and the fact that you have commanded us to love you in return, as you deserve to be loved, Lord, we realize that we can obey this command because agape love is a love of choice. It's a love of the will. It's a love of commitment. Lord, I thank you for your wonderful love in sending your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, to grant us his righteousness in place of our sin. Lord, I pray for any here who have not yet trusted you as Savior. They're not absolutely sure that if they were to die today, that they would go straight to heaven. They're not absolutely sure they belong to you. Lord, I pray that they would not delay a moment longer, but would admit their lost condition and would ask you to save them. Lord, I pray for every believer, everyone who's been born into your family by faith in Christ, that you would work in their hearts to make sure that they truly are committed to you. They truly love you with agape love. Lord, if they are not there yet, that they would do so right now, this moment, in their hearts, and ask for your enablement to continue to love you that way. Lord, I pray that if they need to, they would go back to our website, listen to this message again. May the truths of your word find permanent place in their hearts. Guide their decisions, their choices. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.